All right, praise the Lord. Welcome, internet audience. Let's go to Genesis 8:20. Now, let's stay alert, pinch yourself, because you need to really focus, because I'm going to give you something that will help you help people.
Amen.
Yes.
Help them understand that God is good. Yeah. He really, really, really is. And so, he really, really, really is. Really is. Those of you that have watched Miss Pastor Nancy's, Pastor Joel, you need to go watch it. They had When the Spirit Gets a Moving type service, and he was on, he's really, 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 really good. And they were singing it. He's really, 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 really good. And he's singing that, and the Spirit gets to moving, and I'm telling you, people were dancing like chickens, and you know, all those things in those Brother Hagin meetings and Victor Church sometimes too. Praise the Lord. Okay, Genesis 8:20. So this is called How It Works. This is going to help you, how it works. Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Now look at your Bible there. You need to look at your Bible. You can look at the screen too. Notice Lord. It's all in caps. See that? Okay. All right. And the Lord, this is verse 21, smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. Now listen to what he says then. He said he's not going to do it. And then he says this, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Okay. So, couple things to see here. Number one, the word Lord in all caps. I'm going to show you something about that. We'll get a little further into it. The other thing is that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Okay. Now, Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, say to his flesh.
To his flesh.
Of the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit, say to the Spirit.
To the Spirit.
Shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, Mark 4:26. Man, walk with me. You're going to like this. You'll be, when people say you, you can say, hey, dude, look what this says. Okay. This is going to help you with this. Okay. Our chick, whichever. Mark 4. Did they call girls that anymore? Chicks? Yeah. Okay. So is the kingdom of God. Okay. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. How is it? It's as if man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and seed should spring up and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. This is how the kingdom of God works. That's what he said. And it's not just money. This was pertaining to the word. Six is pertaining to life. Galatians 6, it does have something to do with finances, because they want you to communicate to certain people. But it's also just pertaining to life. God is not going to be mocked. He has set up a system, and this is how the kingdom of God works. This is how it worked in the Old Testament, and this is how it works in the New Testament. The covenants are different. They were under the law. We're under grace. We are grace. They were law. But seed time and harvest still works. Okay. Now, as long as the earth remains, God said, and he doesn't change. So as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. It's just like mama told you. Well, if you sow that, you're going to reap that. That's still true today. What did Jesus say? If you judge people, you're going to get judged. Okay, praise the Lord. So, now listen to this. This is 1 Samuel 2:30. 1 Samuel 2:30. We're going to connect some dots now, and you're going to start getting blessed here. 1 Samuel 2:30 says, "Wherefore the Lord," all caps, see it? "Of God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and thy house of thy father should walk before me. But now the Lord," all caps, "saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Now we talked about this last Wednesday. Okay. So seed, plant, and harvest. That's what we're doing here. We are the ones that determine how we're treated. God loves us unconditionally. He loves us. But you are determining yourself by your choices how much of God and how much of his attention you're actually going to get. Now, walk with me. I'm going to prove it to you. Romans 9:13. "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." So I loved Jacob, but I didn't love Esau all that much. Okay? I hated him. Now, let me tell you something. God didn't do that. That began with Jacob and Esau. I treated Jacob how he treated me, and I treated Esau how he treated me. And there was something that Esau lightly esteemed, the birthright. We talked about that last week. So, God didn't decide that. Okay? Now, two people could come out of the same household. One can get something and another one. They were both from the same household. And one of them highly esteemed God and the other one didn't. It happens to people. Okay. Now, praise God when it doesn't, but it has. So you sow what you reap what you sow, church. As long as the earth remains. Now, I said something to you about Jacob and Esau last Wednesday. I said it wrong and I'm going to correct it. Okay. I said that, all said was, oh, Jacob obeyed his mother. He did, but he did supplant. He did deceive. He did. Now, him and mama had a plan. And so he's saying, yes, mama, we're going to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. The birthright would have been his anyway. If you roll back into the womb, he was grabbing to get out first anyway. And God knew who would esteem the, I'm getting ahead of myself here. We knew who would be, who would esteem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You walking with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I want us to just look at this just for a moment. What did he do? So he got the goat hair. Isaac's blind. He got the goat hair. He put it all over him. Isaac can't see. He says, man, you sound like Jacob, but you sure do feel like Esau. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And he blesses him. So what did he do? He disguised himself and he deceived his father. Now watch sowing and reaping. Because as you get along in the story, Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel. He worked 7 years for Rachel, and they hide Leah in some clothes, and they deceive him.
Wow.
Sowing and reaping. He reaped exactly what they deceived him, and he had to work another 7 years to get his true love. He actually reaped the same harvest as what he sowed. We're going to disguise. They disguised Leah.
Yeah, they did.
Now that ought to tell you the truth about the story. So he did supplant. Amen. So, if you lightly esteem Father God and the things of God, you will be lightly esteemed. Doesn't have anything to do with God loving you. Okay? Doesn't have any, it just depends on, and perhaps you haven't had a connection yet or enough revelation to realize what's important to God. Amen. And how to esteem him. So, you know, no condemnation. And of course you're here. So that shows that you do not lightly esteem. But it's not because God wants to lightly esteem anyone. It's because the capacity isn't there to receive because you're blocking it. Now, we live under grace. We are New Testament believers. So we see and say that God is good all the time. But we know that he was good over you. I don't know if you do. I know he was good in the Old Testament. I know he was. Because God can't change. But you seem to have wording that makes people wonder, and then they use the New Testament, Paul's thorn and Timothy's stomach and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so, but he's always been good. So what do you do with those verses that says, the Lord did this to them? I'm about to tell you what to do with them. Okay? So we have to look back and rightly divide the word. So we have to go deeper. And it has to do with the word Lord. It has to do with those caps. Okay. Now, it has to do with this. So listen to me mindfully. Once God speaks something and sets it up, it goes into action like a system. You start the cogs rolling and they're rolling. Okay? Now keep that in your thinking as we move forward. Sowing and reaping. It's going. Okay? Now, even though we're forgiven of our sins, and we are, all of them, everybody in here has reaped a harvest you didn't want. Either you said something with your mouth and then it happened, or you did something, or you judged somebody and then you got judged, and boy, it hurt your feelings, but you had your mouth going a month ago, you know. Okay. Yeah. Stirring up stuff, whatever. Preaching really good. Okay, so. All right. You're not going to reap hell because Jesus paid. Somebody took your harvest. Okay? You don't have to reap the curse because somebody took your harvest. Okay? But you might see that you've reaped some things because you have a part to play in the kingdom plan. And sometimes you fell off the kingdom plan, went the other way, stepped out of love, stepped out of faith, and we can all look straight ahead because we've all done it. And we've reaped the harvest of it. People that don't tithe, they reap a harvest and they're not even aware of it half the time. Well, I can't afford to tithe, so I'm not going to tithe. And the whole time they're locked out of what God is doing.
Oh, wow.
All right. Now, look at the capital L-O-R-D. Sometimes the word Lord, when it appears in capital letters, it will appear in capital letters. And that's not any kind of error in the printing. They did it on purpose. And you see, it looks like inconsistency because sometimes it's caps and sometimes it's not. But the translators did that on purpose to help us with something. And most English translators of the Bible actually follow that device. They do that. And it causes you to make a certain determination when you know what it means. So the reason it does that is because the word Lord is two different. Actually, it can be three, but there are different Hebrew words for the word Lord. Now, you know this, but I'm gonna help you with it just a little bit to have this in this teaching. And so the English language, it's very hard for the English language to translate and communicate Hebrew. For example, hesed. Mm-hmm. We say love, but it's way more. It's your tender, loving, mercy, kindness, wonderfulness that is ever trying to get to me. That's hesed, covenant love. Okay. So when the word Lord occurs in the lowercase letters, the translator is indicating Adonai. The word Adonai. Okay. And that's found in the Hebrew Bible. And it means the sovereign one. It's not the name of God. It's the title of God. Okay? Supreme being. It's given to God in the Old Testament. Now, when Lord, capitals appear, it indicates Yahweh. Okay? We know Yahweh using the Old Testament. It's the sacred name of God. Now, the Jewish people said Hashem. Meaning they wouldn't pronounce his name. They said the name. Hashem means the name because they highly esteemed those consonants that didn't have vowels. They esteemed them so highly that they wouldn't let that name come out anywhere where it could meet any kind of dark. I'll just say that. Okay? So they honored his name. It's a tetragrammaton is what you call that, a tetragrammaton. It's a just consonants, mm-hmm. Yahweh. We put the A and the E in it, mm-hmm. but they just had what they got from the Hebrew language. Okay, now, when God talked to Moses, he called himself Yahweh, okay, at the burning bush, the unspeakable name. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, because I'm a born-again Christian, and I could actually sit in the lap of my Father on the throne of God, I will say God's name. It's Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh.
Glory to God.
Okay, that's his name. All right, now, but Yahweh is what we have. So here's the contrast right here. Psalms 8 says, where is that? Okay. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name, all the earth. So they're saying, O Yahweh, our Adonai. Okay. O Yahweh, our Adonai. That's what they're saying. So they're saying, O God, our sovereign one. Okay, so they're using his name with a title. Walk with me. I'm going somewhere important. You're going to catch this in a minute. So Lord is the name of God, and little Lord is the title of God. So when we, let's just use Ronald Reagan to clear the presidency here tonight. He was the president, but his name is Ronald. But his title was president. Adonai is the title. Okay? It's not the personal name. All right. The title Adonai is, though, reserved for God. It was the title that they gave to Jesus in the New Testament. When Christ is called Lord, he's invested with the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament Adonai. So, Lord Jesus, you're saying, Yeshua Adonai. That's what you'd be saying. Mm-hmm. And if you want to say it like English, Adonai Yeshua, but you know, whatever. However it comes out. There would be those two words together. So, he's called, what's he called? The Lord of Lords. Okay. The King of Kings. A title that beforehand was only reserved for the Supreme God. Now, when Isaiah came to the temple, there was a crisis of sovereignty in the land. Uzziah was dead. Remember that? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. That kind of helps you get the feel of what I'm talking about here. So the eyes of Isaiah were open to see the real king of the nation. Uzziah died. Isaiah looked and saw who really ruled.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
Remember, we're talking about kingdom. Okay. All right. So he saw the real ruler. Now, this is what I want you to get. Each one of those lords functions differently. I'm going to show you what I mean. The word Lord in all caps means God and his system of government. Okay? Mm-hmm. And here's the big thing. Now get this, church. This will help you in how to pray. Thermostats, ears up. Okay?
Amen.
Ears up, thermostats. Listen to this. When the prophets speak and say things that are going to happen, and they use words that are judgy, and you're like, oh, we're supposed to walk in love. I don't know if I'd be calling somebody that. Okay? It's going to help you. When they do that, they're not speaking from one Lord. They're speaking from the government of God. They're speaking from the kingdom of God. Okay, you ready? They're speaking from seed time and harvest. So they're using a language that needs to be used to promote the government of God. That's what prophets do. They're going to use a language that's going to promote judgment. And judgment's not always bad. It's things can be judged very good. Are y'all with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so don't get disturbed. I know you've heard one of our favorite prophets say that jackal, da da da, and at first you're like, oh, you know, and then you hear sweet Brother Copeland say, now we walk in love and we love these people, and one of them's talking out of the government, the other one's talking out of God's nature.
Wow, that's so good.
Okay. It's going to change your life, because now when you hear things or you pray things, it won't freak you out.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll keep you out of your flesh.
Yeah.
Okay, now, so God is good. He's not killing people. He's not hurting people. But his government is going forth.
Yeah.
What he already set up is going forth. So it's not the nature of God. Now, the flood of Noah was not coming from the nature of God. It was coming from the government of God. Now listen to this. This is Genesis 6:5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the capital L-O-R-D, the government, that he had made a man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So we see grace and judgment. That's just something, a side fun there. So the word Lord's in all caps. So this is Yahweh, God and his government. So there was a judgment coming from the government, seed time and harvest, or seed plant and harvest. But God's nature did not kill the people. Okay? It's not God going, man, I had enough of him. It's not how God is. God will wait and wait and wait and show mercy and mercy. But If you read Revelation and you read the Bible mindfully, you will see that the cups get full.
Yes.
They get full of righteous prayers. Yes. They get full of when someone just won't repent. The cup finally gets full. And a harvest comes. Okay. So, stay with me now, because I have a few more things to say about this. He set up a plan, or he spoke a word, the plan, in this case, it's seed time and harvest going forward. He wasn't deciding each case. Who was deciding each case? The people were. The people were deciding each case. You get to decide. You get to decide. You can lightly esteem or not. Or you could hate or whatever you wanted to do because it's your choice. Because that also is a system that God set up. Mm-hmm. See, God wants you to be free like Him. He wants you to have freedom to choose. Okay? And religion doesn't like this. They don't want you to have a choice. Come on, we've heard that recently. They don't want you to have a choice. They just want God to be responsible for all of it. God killed them and didn't kill them, and God did that, and God blessed them. They're rich, but God's not going to bless you, and all this kind of junk. It's not God.
Amen.
You decide.
Yes. Right.
He said, I put for you life and death. You choose. And let me give you a big hint. Choose life.
Amen.
Okay, so God's on our side. Now, so you get to have a choice. Religion doesn't want you to have one, but you get to. So, they want you to, so what they did was they put this doctrine in place that said, there's a reason for every tragedy. It's God trying to get a message out. That's not in the Bible. Now, when a tragedy happens, God moves in and He starts messaging and He starts using it, but He didn't do it. Why? He can't. He doesn't have cancer. He doesn't have tragedy. He just absolutely cannot do it. He hates sin because it kills you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
All right. So religion puts you in bondage by telling you that everything has a reason. So listen, people will spend days and days wondering why tragedy happened. Days on it. And then they'll spin it. And then they'll have speculative imagination about it all day long and try to figure out what God was doing. Let me just give you the full answer. Seed time and harvest.
Amen.
That's the answer. That's God's kingdom, His government at work. I'm telling you, you're going to help people. You can help people with this. It'll help. When you understand this, you can really start using your faith. If you're going to keep drifting off on why the Lord was doing all this stuff, you're never going to be able to use your faith. But if you will look and see who's really in charge, God's in charge if you let Him be in charge, but He's not in charge if you don't let Him because He gave dominion to you. Now, that's on the side, but let's move forward here because I'm going to show you one more thing. See, there's just a real simple answer. The devil, seed time and harvest, and people's choices. And if anything happens in your life that's bad, religion will tell you that God did it. But if you ever get the truth, you're going to break out of those chains. And that's exactly what happened to me 30 years ago. Because I didn't want anything to do with God. He killed my parents. All sorts of stuff happened. Life seemed ruined. All kinds of junk. And then I saw this prophet on TV who told me that God was good. So I looked into it and I found out it was true. And then I highly esteemed Him. See, the devil doesn't want you to highly esteem God because he knows he will honor what you honor.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
Whew. So you can choose which way you want to go because He real freedom is being able to choose.
Yes.
He'll let people go to hell if they want to. Because he does not want, he didn't build a bunch of puppets. Not everything is destined to happen because he set it up. No, he set up his thing and then you move with his thing or you don't. All right. Now you're going to like this. So the Lord, this is Lord, all caps. They couldn't translate the English. Now I want to bring another name in here. Elohim. Okay. Elohim is God the creator. Watch this. This is cool. He's the creator. What'd he do? He said, light be. Now he's all caps. Okay. Here. Jehovah or Yahweh. This is him. I'm sorry. He's going to show up here. This is Elohim. I beg your pardon. Now listen to this. Let's just pretend we just read Genesis 1 and we know that Elohim created the world. Okay. I don't want to have to back up and do that. Now, when you get to Genesis 2, you're like, what? What? He's telling the same story over again. Why is Moses telling the same thing over again? He's not. He opened and unfolded a piece of the picture. So he unfolded this. So he said this. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the capital L-O-R-D, God, made the earth and the heavens. Now, let me tell you something about this. King James made a proclamation to 1,500 translators. King James said, translate it right or I'll kill you. They're freaking out because you can't hardly translate Hebrew into English. It's very difficult on many fronts. So the way that they got through this is they came up with this plan to do L-O-R-D in caps and small so that people could tell the difference and understand in English who was being talked about. So now back to Genesis 2. Elohim was plural. That's the Trinity. Elohim is plural. You know, what's a plural Hebrew word? Miskavim, Regalim. So they all have, and Yerushalayim. There's two Jerusalems. So that's, Elohim, whatever you want to say. Okay, so there's more than one. So God is a Trinity. Okay, someone needed to know that. Okay, now, I like this. This is now in Genesis 2, Jesse. This is now the Lord God who generates. Y'all get that? In other words, he started the engine. That'll help the guys. He started the engine and now the machine's gonna do it. Now go back and read Genesis 2. It's not just it's a how it's working from one. So it unfolded into something bigger. So he's generating it. He's making it run. Now go back and read what it said because we don't have time to go there. What is he using to do it with? Seed time and harvest. That's what it's all about. It's about seed time and harvest. So now remember what he said. I should have said this to you already. Well, I'll say it to you right now. Genesis 2:3 says this. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because that in it he had rested from all his work. He's done. Now let the generator run the rest of it. He's done with it. He set it up. It's now working. It's working for you. Shake it off, church. Wake up. Wake up. He now has this thing going. My word shall not return void. It's working. Seed time and harvest is working. And it began to work way back there. So he's like, I'm done. The Creator is done. Now I'm going to be this God. And in this God, it's not going to be my nature. It's going to be me in this other platform. And I'm doing this. So my nature isn't doing it. The one on the throne who's ruling and judging is doing it. So it doesn't have anything to do with love. It has to do with what's right. Thank God. We don't have to be left in the dark about all this. There's an unseen power that has been given into this earth. It's seed time and harvest. If you put a wooden post in the ground to put up a fence, it will rot that post out because the ground does everything it can possibly do to grow something. If you put a metal post in the ground, it'll rust it out because it's doing everything it can to grow something. Well, there's something else doing the same work, and it's in the spirit, not in this ground. It's in the ground of your heart. It's in the spirit realm. And any seed you sow, the seed, plant, and harvest will make it grow.
Amen.
Either way. Either way. But don't blame God, because you sowed the seed you wanted.
Amen.
You took in the seed you wanted. What he did was give you the system, but the freedom to choose which way you wanted to go. So nobody could stop you. Nobody can stop you from prospering. Nobody can stop you from getting healed. Nobody can stop you from anything. I don't care where you lived, who you are, what color you are, which sex you are, whatever you are, and there's only two. But anyway, that is the truth. Well, it's the truth. Read the Bible. I love everybody, but that is still the truth. And that's still going to work. But if you choose to think there's something third, God will let you, and you'll live in seed time and harvest. And if you choose to think prosperity is all about money-grubbing preachers, then God will let you live in it. And if you want to be humble and broke, God will let you live in it. And if you want to be sick all the time in the death cycle, God will let you live in it. And if you want to lightly esteem God, God will lightly esteem you. The L, capital L-O-R, now love is going, come on, come on, please, come on. I love you, come on. Choose life, please. Please let me help you. I want to. I want to be there for you. But I can't break what I already set up. I can't cross over what I've already put into place. He can't cross over there. Praise God. It's our choice, and love wants us to choose what's right. We're going to have to get a hold of this. For too long, God's been blamed for so many things that people have done. Better shuck some corn and get that out of you. Better get that out of you. You better go ahead and say, look, I'm going to have to answer to the truth here. I had someone tell me recently, they said, well, you know, the Lord doesn't mind how we worship. I just didn't say anything to them because I knew they couldn't take it. But in my mind, I was saying, well, he said in his word how he wanted you to worship. So, yeah, you can worship however you want to, but God specifically has a way that he wants you to. He said shout. He said praise. He said worship. He said play music. But you don't have to, because you have your own will. But don't blame that on God. Well, everyone should just worship the way they want to. No. No. God told us how to do it.
He did. He did.
Read the Bible. Amen. All right. Now, whatever you plant, he's going to give life to. God told Adam, he said, you give me that tree. Not that tree. You give me that tree. And all the others will produce for you. You give me the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You let that remain mine. That's your tithe. And if you give me that tithe, all the other trees are going to produce for you. But the day you take that tree away from me, seed time and harvest, every other tree will quit producing for you. And it did, and they had to move out of the garden. Glory to God, I might have to take a run. Because he's really, 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 really good. See, Adam made that decision, and the seed would bring death. So anytime you see Lord in caps, it's Yahweh or Jehovah. It's not his nature. It's not the creator. It's the government. It's him having to be the ruler. It's like moms that wear different hats. Dads that you wear different hats. I wear different hats in my life. But it's even a little bit deeper than that because it's a system in place. So it's not God going, I'm going to knock them out today. I'm going to knock them out. They run into it. They run into it. I've run into it. Oops. Yeah. Now, the wonderful thing about us is we have Holy Spirit. And he goes, come on. He saved me a lot of times. But he even hollered, shut up at me before. And I was glad because I was going down the wrong trail. All right. Now, so it's his government and it's his word set in motion. Seed, plant, and harvest. Now, let me tell you this. Angels are reapers. Put this on the package here. Angels are reapers. They're called to be ministers for heirs of salvation, right? They're lights. Okay, so remember the death angel in Egypt? Didn't that just kind of rub you the wrong way? The death angel? He has a death angel? God has a death angel? No, he doesn't. He has a reaper. And the angel was sent then in Egypt to reap death that they had already run into. And the angel showed up in Goshen. And he went to see if he could reap any death. But there was life on the doorpost.
Amen.
There was life. The blood of the Lamb was on the doorpost. Now that ought to help you right now because you got the blood of the Lamb. So the life was on the doorpost of his, so he's going, okay, Pharaoh and them, okay, they're all right. Okay, they're all right. Now doesn't that relieve you that it's not the grim reaper coming from God? It's just an angel reaping. They are the reapers. Go over to James now and find out how they're going to reap your financial harvest for you. Go to James 5. The book says it's the Lord of hosts over there. The Lord of hosts. And go over there. And when you've been mistreated financially and someone has stolen your money and such and such and such, it says that the wages are crying out to get back to you. And there are angel reapers that will go out and get what is yours. Now let's go back to this as we close. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Your choice. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So, honor. If you're casual about God, you can expect a casual harvest. If you're casual about serving God, you can expect that things and people will treat you that way. Well, I don't ever have anyone to help me. Well, you might want to up your game in the service of the Lord. Ooh, it got real quiet. No condemnation, church. We're moving forward here. Yeah. Don't start getting, well, I don't like this part. See, that's what shuts you down.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
None of us like this part, but we're going to have to face it. This is not about earning God's love. You have it. You have his nature. You have his love. You have all this, and you're empowered to do all this. But sometimes people, and I kind of think this, and you can agree or disagree with me. This is just me. But I think people just, it never register. Some things just don't register to them of how, what's important and what isn't.
Right. Yeah.
Can I say this to you? See, most of the Wednesday night people that come, they sense a responsibility to be here. But the people that don't come, they still see churches. Oh, they're over there. If I want them, if they have something for me, I might go and listen to it. Am I right? But you come because you think you're supposed to be here, not just to get the word. You're not at home going, I don't know if I'm going to go. I'm tired or not. You're like, I'm supposed to be a part of that church. I'm supposed to be responsible to be there. Church, it's not just me that needs to be responsible to be here. You're responsible to be here. Say amen to that, church. That's the truth. And so people, God love them, and you don't need to go out and find the Sunday people and tell them, why weren't y'all there? Because then you're getting into condemnation you're going to reap. So don't go there, but just pray for people that they understand. When you start getting the responsibility feeling, you're not lightly esteeming. You're going, you know what? I need to go and support. I need to go and be there. I'm tired, but I'm going anyway. If I have to stand up and do this and this on one leg or whatever, I'm going. I'm going to do it because I feel responsible to do it. Well, I know I was supposed to take care of the kids tonight, but I'll just call in because I don't feel like it. No, see, that's lightly esteeming.
Yeah.
Okay, it's getting quiet. I guess I'll come back over here. Listen, they're free to do it. But expect to be lightly esteemed.
Yeah.
Well, why is it that John Calvary gets so much favor? Because he doesn't lightly esteem this house. They're clapping for me in the back. Did y'all hear that? This is a joke. Just a joke. Okay. So, but it's how you see it. How do you see it? I just might go. Probably say, oh, I'll just watch it at home. But when you're responsible and you don't lightly esteem the assembling of yourselves together, you show up. That's it. And I'm just using that as an example. There are many things. But you have to remember this. That's not God saying, well, you don't do anything, so I'm not going to do anything for you. No, that's not God. He always wants to do something for you. But because of seed time and harvest, because of the government system, you're not going to catch everything you need to catch. There is mercy and there is grace. And hold on to your hats. You're going to like the last part. You start shouting again. Honor his word. Honor his name. His church, his leaders, his presence, his ministry, him, and honor the sacrifice of Jesus. We honor him. Maybe you haven't thought much about what honor is. But compare Esau's life with Jacob and you'll see some of it. Jacob went, phew. I mean, he got to the place where he saw angels ascending and descending. He won. He beat Laban, who tried to deceive him so many times. He beat him. Bad. And why did he do that? Because God didn't lightly esteem Jacob. Well, now, Pastor, now don't come up to me after church and say, you know, God loved Esau. I know he did. But he said, you're not interested in me? Okay. I love you. But you're not interested.
Yeah.
You made the choice.
Oh, that's
good. God didn't want it to be that way.
Right.
It's kind of like your kid. You're like, will you please call your mother? You love me, don't you? But it's their choice. Now, my kid ought to call me all the time because I went over to my mother's house almost every day. I said, we sowed some good seed. Praise the Lord.
That's right.
But, you know, we grew up in that. My mother went to her mother's house and we all went to her house every day and half the friends went there and it was special. But, I think the Bible says something about honoring your father and your mother. See? Well, honor father. Go to his house. Thank you for that, Lord. That was free. Okay, so we're going to finish. Here's what some people are thinking now as we close here. Man, I've got some seeds sown that I don't want to reap. But let me ask you this. How did Noah find grace in the eyes of God? How did he? One word, righteousness. And you are righteousness. So that's one. There's one right there. Then you also have the blood. You also have the blood. So you can plead your case. Don't plead innocent. Plead the blood. Now, what I mean by that is you are innocent if you plead the blood. But what I mean by that is admit it if you've done some stuff. Quit trying to cover it up. Quit trying to spin it. Everything gets spun nowadays. Well, I must have been right. This must have been God. When you know good and well it wasn't God. As Brother Copeland says, admit it and quit it. I like that.
Yeah.
We're too soft on ourselves. Yeah. We need to go ahead and say, you know what? I'm just gonna pull up my bootstraps and get this right and move forward.
Yeah.
I tell you, it changes your life. Isn't this helping you be able to deal with your character right now?
Yes.
This really helped me because there's so much power in it. Okay, a couple more things and we're going to stand up or we're going to receive our offering. Here's the third thing. So you've got that you're the righteousness of God, the blood of Jesus. These things will help you when it comes to not having to reap the harvest. Repentance will certainly help. That's not a bad word. I know grace people think that you shouldn't repent, but I don't know. I think if I did something mean to Karina, I should apologize to her. Well, we certainly want to do that with the God of the universe. That's how I feel about it. If you know, it's about the fellowship. It's not about going to heaven or hell.
No.
It's about the fellowship with God.
Right.
If you read John, that's what he's talking about. It's being able so that you on your side feel right with God.
Yes.
God does feel right with you. God the nature.
Yes.
Oh. God the nature. Okay, last thing. Let me ask you this question. When the brothers wanted to kill Joseph, who saved him? Who?
Judah.
Now, here's the next question. What does Judah mean?
Praise.
Praise. Praise will put you up on a higher level. Praise causes you to sow to the spirit and not to the flesh. And if you sow to the spirit, you will not reap corruption from the flesh. Lord, thank you that you forgive me of all my bad decisions. Thank you, Lord, I come to the throne of grace. Forgive me when I've lightly esteemed you. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life and I command a crop failure all over the negative stuff that's come out of my mouth. And I declare that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm only going to reap the harvest that I have sown in the spirit realm. Glory to God. I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. When you praise, you get yourself first and foremost to a higher level. Galatians 6:8. For he that soweth to his flesh of the flesh shall reap corruption, but he that soweth to the spirit, Danny taught me this a couple of days ago, shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not grow weary in what? Well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Amen.
Get in the spirit, get a butt. When you get there with the Lord and say all these things, you're going to the courts of heaven. You sow to the Spirit, and you're free. So all that negative harvest is washed away. And we have a relationship with God. Now, have you ever had someone that you just refuse to say, you never would say, please forgive me? Oh, it got real quiet. Okay, let's try that again. Maybe there are people here who cannot ask other people to forgive them. Maybe they can't ask God to forgive them. Maybe there's too much pride involved. Right? That's sowing to the flesh. You humble yourself. And you make it right. You make it right. I humbled myself and told you that I told you something wrong about Jacob and Esau. And I corrected it tonight. And I'm giving you my word. I'll continue to do that. When I find something that I didn't say right, I'm going to make it right. And we can all live that way with Father God. Amen. Amen. We can all live that way. Amen. You received the word tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So now you know what you can do about it. And the most important thing that you can know here is that the judgment is coming from the system.
Yes.
Because I know what you're thinking, the same thing I do. Man, that guy needs to be taken out. And then you think, ooh, I've done bad stuff. Right? That's what you think. Well, now you don't have to think that anymore. Because you can go, Lord, I apologize for what I did. But as far as the system and the government's concerned, I pray if that person needs to be unseated, they're unseated. If they need to move away, I declare they need to move. But you better do it prophetically and not in your flesh. You better pray it and not just start wanting to do witchcraft. Witchcraft is when you start praying things over people that isn't true. But I'm telling you, when the prophets tell you such and such is going to happen, a donkey's going to talk.
Yeah.
A donkey's going to spill the beans. They're not trying to be rude. They're talking out of the government.
That's right.
And so when you pray and you hear those kind of things coming out of your mouth, don't go, oh, Lord, I don't want to be saying that about anybody because I'm going to be judged for that. Does that help y'all?
Yeah.